Welcome to this media availability edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Today is Thursday, April 6th, 2023. The 20-9 Hoosiers are set to host an Iowa Hawkeye team with big expectations, but coming off of a home series loss to Maryland. Today, the media met with sophomore pitcher Ryan Kraft, senior shortstop Philip Glasser, and head coach Jeff Mercer to discuss the upcoming matchup.
Ryan, what's been working well for you this year?
I think it's just staying with the plan. Glenn has a plan for us. We attack, get hitters, get them out. So I think really getting that first pitch strike in has been really helping us out and just going with our gut instinct and attacking with them.
How much did you learn from getting so much experience as a freshman?
A lot. You get thrown in the mix as a freshman, get a lot of innings in. You can really kind of learn from like your good days, your bad days, especially your bad days. You learn kind of how to handle that and just keep going.
And how has that benefited you in the late inning role that you're in this year?
I think it gives you more confidence. It's a confidence booster. Definitely knowing like when times might not be so great, like just got to find a way to get out of it.
You have had to deal with quite a bit of traffic in the last 6 weeks or so. You've done well at not allowing any of that to score. So what kind of goes into that process of dealing when you have runners on base?
I think it's just believing in yourself and knowing that you can get those runners out. Like, you know, you have a good defense behind you, you throw the ball over the zone, it gets hit, a few double plays might happen, you're out of the inning.
A lot of new guys in your pitching staff this year. I want to point out the performance from Wes over the weekend at Penn State. What did you think about what he was able to do in a tough spot there?
It was awesome to see Wes go out there and compete. I know he's a great pitcher, and it was good to see how he went out there and just attacked him, did well, and just really happy for him.
You've closed out a couple games with 71 pitches in your last two outings. How much more did you have in the tank after that?
I probably had about an inning or two. I had 70 pitches the previous weekend, so building off of that kind of felt better going to the following weekend, just knowing that my pitch count could be up a little bit higher.
What's it been like for you being the leader of the offense so far this year?
It feels good. Just obviously getting those guys, you know, learning from those guys a lot. And, you know, just being able to provide for your team, you know, means a lot.
Coach has talked a little bit about, you know, just given the numbers that you're putting up, you're being pitched to differently now. So what has that been like and how have you been adjusting to it?
One is just trusting the guys behind you. Obviously, you know, we got super talented guys in, you know, Pine, Bobby right behind me. And then obviously Tibbs has been tearing it up. So it's pretty easy. Just stay on fastball, you know, swing at strikes, do damage, and then take walks when they give it to you. And then trust those guys, you know, to bring me in.
When you look at, like, Tyler Cerny feels like he's learning from you in the field. Devin told me he's learning from you at the plate. How have you seen those freshmen kind of latch on to you, and what have you been trying to share with them?
Yeah, that's one of the biggest things I want to do this year. Obviously, I know how hard it is playing as a freshman when I played as a freshman, and just whatever I can, you know, do for them defensively, offensively, you know, mindset. It's a long season. It's like triple the time that high school is. So whatever they need, I always try to provide, and, you know, any advice. So the failures I had to go through, they kind of, you know, they're aware of it and don't really have to go through it.
You're looking at facing a really elite fastball this weekend. Can you kind of talk about the preparation that you and the team have made to do that?
Yeah, it's we just got to stay on that fastball. We got to be on time, get them in the zone, and then do what we do best, which is hit fastballs. And we've been training, you know, the whole off season and fall just to hit fastballs. So we'll be ready and then adjust off speed, just keep the same approach.
Take any motivation from how the Iowa series went last year, try and beat them this time?
Yeah, I mean, definitely what happened last year, you know, wasn't ideal, but at the end of the day, it's three games, and we play every team, you know, the same. We go compete against every single team, regardless of what the jersey says. But, no, we're super excited for it. Obviously, it should be really good weather, and, you know, with a big crowd, and, you know, we'll be ready for it.
How do you feel the team, and especially the infield, has progressed defensively over the course of the season so far?
Yeah, we've progressed a lot. Obviously, it's just tough at first to get out there with, you know, how the weather is up here. But we've been out there learning together. Obviously, me, Pine, and Tibbs have been together for the last 2 years, and then Cerny's done an unbelievable job this year. So, you know, those plays kind of in the hole where you got to communicate or pop-ups or whatever it is, you know, we've really gelled as a group, and, you know, we've played really well.
You're on the end of a lot of the pickoff throws or the catch stealing guys down the second base. Where have you seen Matthew Ellis improve defensively? Because I know that was one of the big things he wanted to do this year.
Yeah, Matt's done. He worked his absolute tail off in the fall and winter. And I knew he was going to have a great year behind the plate this year. His transfer is really good, and he already has an elite arm. So his, you know, he's working with Denton Sagerman a lot, and his footwork behind the plate is like 10 times better than it was. And obviously catch and release is very quick, and then we've got a lot of guys because of it.
Coach, I know there's not a magic formula to, or potion for home versus away, but what do you feel like contributes to the offense being so good at home and then sometimes just being a little stagnant away from home?
Well, I mean, I would say primarily just the work that you're able to spend with that, with guys. You know, you can say after practice or come in before time with guys. And then sometimes, you know, like the first game against Penn State, they stacked their Friday guy and their Sunday guy in one game, right? So that's a little bit harder for you to handle that. You know, the main thing is that guys just have to go out and have good at-bats and be able to be competitive. And, you know, Indiana State did a good job the other night, and I'm not going to make excuses for the guys, but you play a doubleheader on Sunday, you get back at 4:30 in the morning on Monday, and so they're kind of dragging a little bit on Tuesday, and we just didn't play great. Yeah, we didn't play terrible, we just didn't play great. So I don't know that there's a magic potion or formula, but I do think being able to spend time with guys before and after matters, and then also you having kind of an understanding of like some of the situations, not in a bad way, but the situations of which are contributing to that stuff. So, you know, I think we'll be fine on the road offensively. Have we been better? Yes, we have been better at home, and I just think it's the time you can spend with guys before and after, and we're going to have to find a way to get good enough to be able to take that show on the road as well.
Iowa's Friday starter, at least from what I saw, has really good numbers. So how do you guys plan to attack him?
Well, he's primarily a two-pitch guy. Now, both pitchers are really good, right? He's 95 to 100 and has a low 90 slider. So, you know, you're going to have to establish somebody like that. The game plan is simple yet difficult, right? There's I should say this, it's not complex. You have to go out and you have to be on fastball timing, and you have to establish that you can manage a fastball and then be able to read the off-speed pitch from there. Now, the unique thing about him is it's like potentially 50, 60% off-speed pitches, sliders, right? So you're looking at leverage counts, a ton of sliders, 2-0 sliders, 2-1 sliders, things like that to both righties and lefties. And that's typically where a guy that throws that hard sometimes can have a hard time controlling his fastball, so they'll use a slider as more of a get-me-over pitch to get back in the count. So, you know, you could look at it and say, okay, so he's a 60, 70-plus percent slider guy in certain counts. Would you sit slider? Well, when the slider's 92 miles an hour, it's hard to sit, right? You're really going to speed it up. So you have to establish that you can manage. Velocity is relative, right? So you can make a 90-mile-an-hour fastball look like 100, or you can make a 90-mile-an-hour fastball look like 80. It's just depending on your timing and your approach. And so when we make 87 or 88 look like 95, it's because we're in between pitches, right? So typically you'll see it with a guy like a lefty that has a decent four-seam and then a changeup, right? You'll see a guy get beat badly by a fastball at 89 because he's worried about the changeup. And so with a guy like the kid throwing Friday, who is supremely gifted and will be a first-round pick and all those different things, it's fine. You have to establish that you can make velocity relative, start on time, and make contact with the fastball at the right depth on the plate, and then recognize the off-speed pitch from that. And if you can do that, then you're probably not going to string together 3 or 4 or 5 hits, although it is theoretically possible. You're probably going to have to work to where you have a hit, a walk, something like that, to where you get two guys on base, right? You have to get to where you have multiple guys on base, and then you've come through with a big hit. And you have to score in multiples. It's hard to have sustained success against that kind of stuff. But if you'll do it in spurts, you can get to that 3 to 5 run threshold and then give your bullpen a chance to kind of win the game. And hopefully, you know, their bullpen isn't as strong as ours and we can kind of pull away late from there. So he's going to throw a ton of pitches. He's either going to be behind in the count and we're going to be able to manage and put balls in play. And so he'll be, you know, 2 and 3 ball counts, long at bats, or he's going to have 15 strikeouts. Either way, he's going to have a ton of pitches. He's going to have a ton of pitches thrown in the 4th, 5th, 6th inning. And then what do you do in those middle innings? If you can't get to him early, what do you do in the middle innings that can force their hand, kind of like Maryland did last week? You force their hand in the 5th or 6th to decide, do you leave him in with runners in scoring position? Or do you go to your bullpen and then be able to try to make hay on the bullpen?
it's not apples to apples, but do you use Friday, or I guess Thursday last year against Mazur, the pitcher of the year in the conference, the way you hit him early, do you use that as kind of an example of, hey, this guy's really good, but we did this last year?
Yeah, we kind of talked about it a little bit. Mazur was different because he had multiple pitches. He had more of a repertoire. He's not quite as powerful, but more of a pitcher. But the same theory rings true with guys that have, I think he was a second or third rounder, guys that have power stuff, is once we establish that we could hit his fastball, you know, in the 92 to 95 mile an hour range, once you establish you can hit the fastball and you force someone to land an off-speed pitch, then it makes it a lot more difficult game plan for the pitcher. And I think for him, what we stunned him with a little bit was our ability to manage the fastball, where a lot of guys are in between. They're worried about the secondary pitches, the off-speed. And so then all of a sudden the fastball plays up to 105, and now you're making other decisions. You expand off-speed pitches, even in between. And that's where I think he ate everybody's lunch last year, was they didn't get to where they established they can hit the fastball, and now we're going to make you throw an off-speed pitch for a strike. And we were playing with our backs against the wall. We were trying to make the conference tournament. They were obviously comfortably in at that point. And so our guys were really hungry and fired up. And it was also a really offensive day where the wind was blowing out, you know, one of those Iowa days where the wind's blowing out. And, you know, we also were the beneficiary of that offensively. And they were the beneficiary of that offensively. That was a wild day. But, yeah, that does give you, you know, confidence to where you go out and you can compete against those guys. You look at the starters from Ohio State last week that were really good, right? And so we put together a game plan of those guys. We were able to execute that game plan. And we'll have to go out and do similarly.
When it comes to when you said about Penn State, you know, obviously your plan was from a pitching perspective, of course, based on playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
And you haven't had a chance to do that in a while.
Yeah.
Looks like you might actually have a chance to do that this week. Is that still going to be the plan for this week, or have things adjusted because of how condensed some of your games have been?
We'll still try to do the same thing where we try to pick essentially the best matchup on Friday, get it off the ground, and then Sennard Saturday and likely Seti on Sunday. And then we'll use, you know, Kraft and Yoho and those guys. And hopefully Hayden's shown some real flashes recently. Kind of the first game we feel like we're in the driver's seat to run it out. We'll go to those guys early if we have the opportunity to do that. I think we're going to start Ben Seiler on Friday. They Illinois State had some success against them with lefties. So we'll start Ben and be able to see if we can get it off the ground with him. And he's been there before and is a veteran. And then, you know, I thought we had a couple guys that we've added to the mix a little bit recently. Brooks Eye was really, really good. Kind of the guy that we expected him to be when we recruited him. 91-93 on Tuesday was excellent and has shown some real signs recently, so I'm excited about him. And Braden Reisdorf had a good outing this week. And then Wes Burton and Nate Ball have shown some flashes. So if we can add those guys to the mix a little bit and give us a little bit of, you know, you got to have some, especially on those Fridays for us and Sundays, you got to have a little bit of tie game down two, right? You know, minus two range, who do we go to minus two, knowing the offense is good enough to be able to kind of break through when given the opportunity. So I think those guys give us a little bit of depth there to do that. And then we just kind of go to matchups. Sennard gives us the length to get those guys. Hopefully on Saturday we should get hopefully 5-7 from him. And then Seti gets us off the ground with his 2-4 innings on Sunday, and those guys are back up. That threw Friday back up on Sunday. So we'll kind of follow a similar format where we typically just kind of pick the guy that we think is the best matchup to start. And like you said, you know, we haven't had a normal weekend of the month. So you make all these plans, and we sit in the office for hours and map all this out. And then, you know, it all goes to you know where pretty quick.
Thank you for listening to this media availability edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. The series with Iowa starts Friday at 6 p.m. with Saturday and Sunday games at 12 noon. The Saturday game will be televised on Big Ten Network. See you at the BART.